Let's rise for the reading of the word. To open our service, we welcome you to Lord of the Harvest Christian Fellowship and those of you who are watching us live stream. We're going to look at three verses this morning, one from Romans 5, a second from 2 Corinthians 5, and a third from Ephesians 2, and they all have the same theme, God's work in Christ, as seen in the gospel. First, we start with Romans 5, verse 10. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The second verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to pick up with verse 17. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And the third verse is from Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to pick up with the 13th verse. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups, Jew and non-Jew, into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints, and also members of the household of God. Father, we thank you for the atonement that has been accomplished for us in your Son. We know that atonement has been on many different levels, accomplished many different things for us, and we are grateful to you in the name of Jesus. But Lord, we understand at the heart of atonement is reconciliation. Yes. Lord, you have reconciled us to you.
Thank you. You
have reconciled us unto each other. Yes. And you call us into the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world to yourself. So
yes.
Father, this morning, as your Spirit is poured out in our midst, Lord, as we minister to you in worship, and prayer, Lord God, as we minister to each other, as we bring forth the ministry of the gospel through the word of God proclaimed,
yes,
we pray, Lord, that the ministry of reconciliation will be powerfully and tangibly manifested
yes
through us in our midst this
yes
day. In Jesus'
yes
name we pray it. Amen.
Praise you, God.
Amen.
Praise you, God. Jesus,
yes,
you a bad man.
Yes.
He a bad man. I ain't seen nobody better than him. Michael Jackson talking about I'm bad. No, Jesus is bad.
Yes.
Amen. Come on now. Come on. Let's tell the truth. Michael was bad in music, but Jesus was bad in everything. Amen. Praise God. Woo. All right. This morning, before we get started, you know what, man? God is good. Bill and Mary Riley, God said, thank you for your service. He said, thank you. Thank you. He said, tell them I said thank you. He said, your service has been impeccable. You've been doing stuff ever since I've been here. I'm like, man, God, that's great. Amen. All right, I only got a couple minutes. We're going to get into a little bit of this word, but I thank God for being able to be here today. I do because I needed it today. I needed a recharge. This is where I get recharged at, y'all. See, I be running a little low, but I get recharged when I get here. Come around, y'all singing good. The word, you know the word gonna be good, because I's gonna put it on you now. I's gonna put it on you one way or the other. You gonna get it, hey, you gonna get it coming or you gonna get it going, but he gonna put it on you. Amen. All right, let me pray. Lord, we just thank you, God. This is the communion time. We thank our brothers and sisters at home. We thank the brothers and sisters here. And we just ask, Lord God, that you send your spirit out, Lord God. That it will cover us. That it will meet our needs, Lord. It will meet our needs because you are on the inside of us. But sometimes we need to hear that word. We don't feel you all the time. We can't recognize you all the time, but we need to hear your word. Give us a word, Lord God. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go to John 14, St. John chapter 14, and we're going to start real quick. This is the communion message for all of you at home. Get your wine, get your bread, amen? Get ready. I'm only going to be up here a couple minutes, but let me put some word on it. Okay, let's start in verse 9. Now, it's beautiful when you can see the Spirit flowing in those that come up before you. And we all on the same page this morning. Amen? All right, let's start in verse 9. John 14:9. Jesus answered, don't you know me? Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. My God, this is powerful right here. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work.
Come on.
I needed this morning. When God gave me this, because I had something totally different, and he swapped it. It would go together because it's over in John 16, but he switched it up on me. Hey, Oz, you ever had a word all laid out, and then God pulled the switch on and said, no, this. That's how he got me today, but I appreciate what he did because you got to understand, people, it's the Father. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus got baptized in the Spirit. He did his work, and now he said, hey, I got to go. I got to go. So I'm going to give what was given to me of mine, I'm going to give it to you so y'all can go on and do good works. And amen, it's happening. It's happening, but we have to recognize that he is in us and he wants to perform and do some things through us all the time. Listen, y'all, I'm not sorry about what I'm saying. I'm an exhorter. I'm an encourager. Every time I get up here, it's going to be something encouraging you. I'm not trying to push you. I'm not trying to make you do anything. It's the Father in me that's saying it to you. He's trying to encourage us to get busy, to get better. See, he's trying to make us better. That's why we have to, we were singing a couple minutes ago to surrender. We have to surrender. We surrender and we let him do it the way he wants to do it. You're gonna get your little bit of glory. They're gonna say, wait a minute, ain't nowhere in the world he could do that, not Bird. Bird was this, that, and the other. But now look at me. Look at me now. See, I got the real power on the inside of me. And see, that's what God wants to show people. He didn't expect you to be good from the beginning, because won't nobody believe you. If you were that way from the beginning, ain't nobody gonna change or feel they need to change because you doing good. All you was doing good all the time. Amen. All right. The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Jesus came, he died, and he said, I got to send you the Comforter. Man, the Comforter is bad. Comforter got a lot of different names. The Comforter can do a lot of different things too. But we have to say, hey, do it through me. Help me. Show me what you want me to do. Show me where you want me to go. Okay, now watch this. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. I've been telling Jesus lately, I want to do what you was doing. I want it, but you gotta want it. You can't sit back and think he gonna just plop it in your lap. You gotta be hungry for it, people. God wanna do something through each and every one of us. Amen. It's crazy, but he does. He already died. Listen, man, he died for all of your ugliness. You at home, he died for yours too. Because I know he died for mine, because I was an ugly dude. I'm pretty now, you know. But I was ugly, man. I was terrible. And some days, man, I break down and cry. Because I thank him for straightening me out. I was crooked as a $3 bill. And took pride in it. But God said, no. Watch what I do through you. And I'm so glad I yielded to him. Amen. Now he said, watch this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me is faith. He can turn your life around. If you think you are nobody, he can make you into somebody. He can make you into somebody. If you think you don't have gifts and talents, he can give you gifts and talents. If you think you can't speak, oh, he'll speak through you. Oh, my God, man. Okay. Let me move on. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son will bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus was telling them, You've seen me feed 5, 6, 7,000 people. You're going to do even greater than that. And they did. He preached to hundreds and hundreds of people. And they've already did that. The disciples, I think Peter, what? The day of Pentecost, what was it? 5,000, 3,000? But you know, it's always a couple hundred off here, a couple hundred off there. So, amen, it was more, but they were doing it. And he was just helping them and encouraging them to keep going. He's talking to us too. See, this ask anything in my name, that's as long as it's his will, he'll perform it. It has to be along his will. He'll perform it. Amen? So this morning, we just thank God. We thank him so much because he's doing, his will is getting done here. It's people changing. It's people growing. It's people being, power being instilled in them. This is power. Power. Man, I wish I had a little longer, but that's okay. But guess what's greater power than this? The blood and his body. Amen? Let's get ready because I look forward to this time. Because I'm going to tell you what. I know I'm going to perform something great for him. I'm already doing it. Just being up here, being able, just even knowing what my call was, is a great thing. Find out what your call is. Be diligent about it. Find out what it is so that you can see what he likes to do through that call. Or find out your gifts. Man, sometimes you got to beg for them. You do. Glory, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? It was all the time. And he started to reveal them. He wants you to be earnest about it. He don't want you to take it and use it for your glory. He wants you to use it for his glory. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you so much that for your body and your blood, as we take in your body, we ask that you heal us and that you bless us and that you make us stronger and that you build us up and that you give us that bravery and that you give us boldness, Lord God. Father God, we take in your body right now in the name of Jesus. And your blood, Lord, your blood. Such a significant thing because your blood in us gives us that new life. It gives us new life, cleaned up. That's why every year is something new he wants to do in us. It's something new he wants to change in us. Yeah. Our mindsets, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we treat others. Right. Yeah. God, your blood, we thank you so much. Partake. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you and we love you, Lord God. Amen.
Amen. So, we're in our third consecutive week. 2 weeks ago, we had the leadership team, each member of the team, pastors, elders, ministry leaders, come forth and just share what God is speaking to you. And what the vision that the Lord has given you for this congregation moving forward. Last week, we opened it up to the rest of the church to share. So for our third straight week, we're going to open it up this week, and we're going to open it up to everybody. So this week, it's members of the congregation, leadership, whoever is here to speak what is in your heart in terms of what the Lord is speaking to you. There was some power of prophecy today, powerful prophecy. And I'll just say that what I saw in the Spirit was so much of, my orientation is Jacob's ladder. We're going to climb up Jacob's ladder to heaven. We're going to get up there to heaven, and God's going to equip and empower us to bring heaven to earth. But I saw something different today. I saw rather than our going up to heaven, heaven is coming down to us. I saw this vision of the heavenly temple in that prophecy that Pastor Janine shared. I just saw, this seeing what's going on in heaven. But I saw heaven coming down, and of course, that's just the book of Revelation, the new heavens and the new earth coming to earth. So I believe that heaven is coming down. I got this real sense that this is what the Lord is doing in this hour, not just at Lord of the Harvest, but with the body of Christ. Heaven is coming down. We have lived for so long trying to get up to heaven. We have lived for so long trying to attain to the glories and the righteousness and the authenticity and the reality of heaven. But I feel like the Lord has allowed us kind of our own law of Moses reality. We've looked at based on our expectations, our understandings, our view of what humans need to be and what humans have to do, and the Lord's allowed it to go on for just centuries in the body of Christ. And it's a futility. The purpose of the law under the old covenant, moving into the new covenant with Christ, the law was there to show what the law could not do. The law was to show what we could not do. The law was to show our inability, our unrighteousness. The law was to show that the law could tell us what was right, but the law could not impart life unto us to transform us. Not just to do what's right, but to be what's right. And I just saw today in the Spirit, and it started in worship, and it continued with the prophecies, and it continued in worship. I just saw the heavenly city coming down to us. And I feel the Lord, I felt like it was going to break through the roof and come down in our midst, and that we were going to be in heaven because heaven was here. But you see, that's the whole trajectory of Scripture. We don't go to heaven. The final chapters of the book of Revelation, the final chapters of Scripture, the final chapters of the canon have the new heavens coming down to us. And the second thing is I've undergone great, great, great changes. And this has been over these past years, but the Holy Spirit has been working in me to move from a position of seeing what was needed to be removed from the body of Christ, seeing what was needed to be driven out of the body of Christ, and even to the point of where it's like, Lord, just drive out people that are hindering your purposes from coming in our midst. And of course, the last 3 years have been like the apocalypse. I mean, it's just what has been exposed in the church has made me feel, wow, I thought it was bad, but it's really, 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 really bad in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is so far removed from what God has called it to be. And I really, for several years, I just was hurt, angry, depressed, frustrated over the body of Christ, and just all these things that need to be driven out of the body of Christ, and this individual, this person isn't right, and this group isn't right, and this view isn't right. And then the last year, something began to change in me, and this goes along with the first image of heaven coming down instead of me going up to heaven, is that I realized that what God had to drive out, he had to drive it out of me. It wasn't about driving it out of everybody else and driving others out from the midst of the pure in Christ. Christ had to drive things out of me. And what he had to drive out of me was just this sense of some are right and some are wrong and some are good and some are evil and some are on the path to light and others are on the path to darkness. And just begin to understand that we're all in the body of Christ trying to press into Christ, trying to find Christ, trying to attain something that we've never attained. And I realized that, I mean, that song that I had heard so many years ago, I was, back in the 80s, so it was 40 years ago, is probably when the song was. And the song kind of, it struck me funny because it was a Christian talking about how great the Lord was, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And that song began to resonate in me more and more and more over the years. And I began to just to understand that Christ is good. Christ is great. Christ is awesome. Christ is powerful. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for, because I would look around at the body of Christ and just say, where is the testimony? Where's the discipleship? Where's the commitment? Where's the devotion? But I began to understand in these last couple of years, as I stopped being so angry at my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I mean, I was being angry with them legitimately, because what I was seeing was so off, was so wrong, missed God in some of the simplest, most fundamental issues of discipleship in the kingdom. It wasn't that I was wrong about what I was seeing. It was wrong about what I was feeling about what I was seeing. And in the last 2 or 3 years in particular, the Lord had to bring me to a place where he removed the sword from my heart. Some of you remember that summer of 2020, when I woke up and had that powerful revelation of Psalm 50, and I've taught based on that revelation of Psalm 50 several times. I've taught it in church. But I said that I felt the heart of God about what was going on, and I felt the heart of God for his people, and it was not an angry heart anymore. It wasn't. I had an angry heart, but the Father didn't have as angry of a heart about the people of God and the state of the church as I did. And the Lord said, that has to be driven out of you. You might be seeing truth. You might even be living truth, but do you have my heart? Talked about it a Wednesday night class several weeks ago. We were talking about the Pharisees in Matthew 23. Matthew 23 is part of Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Matthew 24 is the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus prophesies about the destruction of Jerusalem, but he prefaces it with Matthew 23, and he says, this is why I'm destroying Jerusalem, because of the Pharisees. Because of the Pharisees, because they have the word, they teach the word, they teach the truth, but they don't live the truth. And I said that I've walked in that paradigm. I've walked in that paradigm for years. Yep, that's what it means to be a Pharisee. You have the truth, you teach it, but you don't live it. And then as we went on in Matthew 23, on the way to Matthew 24, I said, but there's a third element. Jesus says, Jerusalem, 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 how often I would have gathered you as a hen does her chicks. How often I would have gathered you to myself. Which Jerusalem would he gather to himself? The Pharisees. I want the Pharisees to be gathered to myself. And if you see what a Pharisee is, that they preach the truth but don't live the truth, and you go out and say, oh, I'm going to preach and live, you still are in the place where Jerusalem's going to be destroyed because you haven't yet gotten my heart for those Pharisees. My heart for those Pharisees isn't the blood of all of the righteous from Abel to Zechariah are going to come upon you. That's not what Matthew 23 is about. Jesus is saying, oh yeah, that's what's going to happen to them. But that's not my heart for them. My heart is that I would gather them as a hen does chicks. And the Lord said to me, son, these people you're angry with in the body of Christ, these people you're angry with in your family, these people you're angry with in your country, rightfully so, because they're hypocrites. Do you have my heart for them? Do you want to gather them unto me? Do you want to gather them to yourself? Or do you want to see them judged? And the Lord said, if that's the case, you're still a Pharisee. P.S., son, you're still a Pharisee. Because I didn't have the heart for God's people. And what has happened to me in the last year is, it's the most amazing thing that's ever happened. Not the Lord has driven evil out of the church. The Lord's driven evil out of me. And I quoted, when I sent that text out to the church that morning, I sent it out to my leadership and maybe to a few of the intercessors, of the incredible revelation that I'd had that Saturday morning when I rose at dawn and the Lord said, go outside and look. And I rose at dawn and then he said, what scripture reading is the scripture for today? Because we were reading one psalm a day per day, and it was Psalm 50. And Psalm 50 talks about the morning, the enlightenment, the revelation of God. And as I read through it, he began to reveal his heart to me, and I said, here I am. In June of 2020, I was 50 years into my life in Christ, 1970, first week of February, 1970. That's next week. Oh, mark another anniversary for me when I gave my heart to the Lord. And it took me 50 years to understand God's heart for his people. How often I would have gathered you under my arms as a hen does her chicks. That's for everybody here. The Lord that doesn't care where you're at. He would gather you under his arms today like a hen does her chicks. But more so, the Lord says, is that what you feel for your brothers and sisters in Christ? And I remembered, and as I was going through this incredibly, I was in God's presence. I was in the Holy of Holies. The Lord took me to heaven. I was right there with him because I was hearing and seeing and feeling these things. I went out to see the sunrise and I read the psalm, but I was in heaven with the Lord when I went back down for prayer. And I remembered that crazy movie, Ben-Hur, with Charlton Heston. I mean, Charlton Heston was Ben-Hur. He was Moses. Gosh, Charlton Heston was everybody. And Ben-Hur was so angry because of what his friend Masala had done to his family and caused his mother and his sister to become leprous. He was so angry. His best friend, who Ben-Hur went the way of Israel and Masala went the way of Rome, and Ben-Hur was driven to destroy Masala. And he does destroy Masala. He ends up getting his vengeance. His anger God says, you're angry and you want to destroy Masala, I will give that to you. Don't assume because God gives you things. It's his will. He finally, sometimes he says, I'm sick and tired of this. This is what you want? You want to be angry? You want to be hostile? You want to be mopey? You want to be pouty? You want to feel sorry for yourself? You want to be angry? Here, let me give it to you, and you can have it for the rest of your life. And he gave that to Ben-Hur. And then Ben-Hur is there when Jesus is dying on the cross. And when Jesus is dying on the cross and he says the words, he said, when I heard him say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He took the sword out of my heart. And I felt like on that day, summer of 2020, the Lord took the sword out of my heart. And in the last 2.5 years, I've watched my brothers and sisters in Christ that I've had a problem with not change, not get any better. Many cases just get worse. But the change was in me. He drove something out of me. And I began to look at my brothers and sisters and just say, you know what? I was seeing the truth. As I saw it, I was believing the truth as I believed it. I was pursuing the truth as I pursued it. But there was something inside of me that was so wrong. And the Lord stayed with me and drove it out of my heart. And now I look at my brothers and sisters, and it's just changed me so much toward my brothers and sisters. It's just like, well, yeah, they're not getting better. But you know what? They're pursuing Jesus. They're on a journey just like I'm on a journey. And yes, God's got to drive some things out of their hearts the same way he drove those things out of my heart. But I'm going to look at my brothers and sisters in Christ in this manner. The Lord's heart for them, he's a hen, and he's calling his chicks under his wings if they would. If they will. Yeah. They would if they will. And it's changed me. It's changed me. And you see, this is the first vision and the second vision. It's heaven coming down to earth. I was calling my brothers and sisters, come on up with me. Climb the ladder and get to heaven with me. And the Lord just said, well, how's that going with you, son? I'm still trying. I'm still climbing. And the Lord says, well, maybe your brothers and sisters are still climbing too. So what I want you to do is I don't want you to see hypocrisy in others. I don't want you to see, yes, they teach the truth, but they don't practice it. And your answer to that is you're going to teach the truth and practice it. But you teach the truth, you practice it, and you get the heart of God for my people. I'm the hen. They're the chicks. Oh, that pastor, false prophet you hate in your heart. The Lord needs to drive that out of your heart. Oh, that brother or sister in Christ who embraces that antichrist political spirit. No. Gather them together. Oh, that brother or sister racist. That brother or sister, white supremacist, white entitlement. No. Gather them. Gather them together. Because heaven's coming down from earth right now. And when heaven comes down from earth, this is what it sounds like. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And let the Lord remove the sword from your heart. So, my sharing today, and we're opening up to the rest of you, and share whatever you want. You can come up here and contradict everything I'm saying. Share whatever you want. But my word to start out today, this is what I see God doing, removing the swords from our heart. Find the sword that's in your heart. Because the sword that's in your heart what's driving you by that sword, it's not Jesus. It is not Jesus. It's the Antichrist. It's satanic. It's Pharisaical. And let the Lord remove that sword from your heart. I have a simple prayer, Lord. I don't even say to my brothers and sisters, look for the sword in your heart. This is what I pray. Unveil the sword, Lord, in our hearts and drive it away, Lord God, that we might become, as the opening verses that we shared to open this service, we might become ministers, ambassadors of reconciliation. Amen. Whoever's next is next. Come on up.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. I just wanted to reiterate what Allison said last week. You know, if you don't feel like you're mixing with everything everybody else is saying, but you still have something on your heart, you know, come up, keep coming up, you know, because it's not about you, it's about the Lord, and he's trying to do something new here. So, amen. And I got two different verse references I just wanted to go over, and just John 15, starting verse 1, and then Romans 11, starting 17. But John 15 has been sort of like on my heart for the last 15 years or so. You know, it just comes up all the time with me every once in a while. And I'm just going to read it and then just sort of talk about what the Lord speaks to me with those verses and says. So John 15, 1 says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. And, you know, every time I read that about remaining in me, how do we remain in God? You know, how do we, you know, really just sort of stay with him, in him? And I always think about the body of Christ. If you're in his body, if you're participating in his work, in his body, at church, at Bible studies, at prayer meetings, you're in him. You're in that culture of the body of Christ, and that's how you remain in him. Is you remain in his word, you remain in his body, and you remain in his culture, and that's how you remain in him. So, the body of Christ is so essential to who we are. You live in your world by yourself, and you're not really in God because you're not remaining inside his power, his life, in his people. The body of Christ is who God is. God is part of the body. And I used to be on my own for a little while, when I was a believer, when I first started, when I came here for the first time, God broke a lot of things off me. I still have a lot of things, God's still doing with me, but the body of Christ is so powerful. It's part of who God is. It's not optional, really. It's not optional at all to be apart from the body of Christ. So be part of the body. And then, I'm speaking to the choir here, but so the other part is pruning. It's happened to us many times. The body of Christ has been pruned, especially in this house. People have left. And recently, the most recent people have left. One of the brothers called me, and I just prophesied over him, and this is part of, I think, we can see sort of some hope in some of these people leaving. I prophesied over this person saying, you're like, you get cut off, you're going to some other church, but you're like a seed. It's a seed that's cut off, that's dead. It died to us in a way. But it's a seed to another house. It's being cross-pollinated. There's like a cross-pollination of that seed going out to all these other bodies, so I just wanted to encourage the body, don't think that just because people have left, there's total death of that person, but there's a chance of life in another place, and sometimes there's just people that, I remember Pastor Jan last time said something about, there's just a sweetness when people left afterwards. It's like there's this even just greater sweetness of us being together, and even my wife you know, when there was other people left, you know, there's just like, there was just sort of a relief, you know, there was just sort of like a more energy here, I guess. I don't know. But just, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. He's the gardener. It says the Lord is the gardener. He's pruning, he's cutting, he's moving, you know. And then, so I wanted to go to Romans, 11. Yes, that's what it was. So Romans 11:17 says, "But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some people of Israel, have been broken off, and you Gentiles who are branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing of God promised to Abraham and his children, sharing the rich nourishment from the root of God, the special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You're just a branch, not a root." And then down to 24. "You by nature were a branch cut off from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you to his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back onto the tree where they belong." So there are branches out there, brothers and sisters, that have been cut off, you know, by their own actions sometimes, by the actions of the church or whatever, but they're going to be grafted back in. The Lord is bringing them back, you know. And Lord, whether it's this church or another church, Lord, I just pray for those, the prodigal sons, those people that have been left, the people that have been offended, Lord, those that, Lord, are just lost, Father. Lord, you're bringing them back, Father. And just I pray that you just graft those wild and the natural vines back into the true vine, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Down through the years, God's been good to me. Down through the years, God's been good to me. Down through the years, God's been good to me. You know God really been good to me. All of my life, God's been good to me. And all of my life, God's been good to me. Yes. All of my life, yes, God's been good to me. You know God really been good. You know God really been good. You know God really been good, shown up to me. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. He has been so good. Glory to God. I am here by the unction of the Holy Spirit. I'm not here in and of myself. I'm not here according to my will, nor my volition, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to share today just a couple of observations since I've been here. And the first thing I want to talk about, I want to talk about God, yes. Elohim, our creator. Yes. And I want to say that God is progressive. Amen. He doesn't stay the same. He doesn't change in his personality. He doesn't change in his character. He doesn't change in his holiness. He doesn't change in his attributes. But he changed in his methodology. He is progressive. He's unlike us, where we get in this mold and we can't move. We can't do anything different because we've always done it this way. So why are we going to change it? If it ain't broke, why fix it? But God is not like that. And that's where he wants to get us as a body of Christ. He wants to do a new thing in the body of Christ for his glory. Not our glory, but his glory. Sometimes we hinder people from coming to Christ because of our attitude, because we can't change, we can't do something different from God's perspective. So we hinder people from getting saved. We hinder people from being filled with the Holy Ghost because we get in the way. God don't want us to be in the way. Amen. God's way is not like our, it's not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. We have to seek God for his thoughts. What is he thinking? How is he leading us? What is his will? What is his purpose? We have to get out of the way. Amen. We have to be open. We have to be willing, and we have to be ready when God moves. So I'm going to go to Ephesians 5, and I am in Contemporary English Version, New Testament. And I'm going to go 5, verse 19. And it states, when you meet together, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as you praise the Lord with all your heart. So that song that I sang is a spiritual song. Because this body is diverse. It's a diverse church, and it's going to become more diverse. So what's wrong with singing a hymn? What's wrong with saying Amazing Grace? What's wrong with saying Jesus paid it all because he did? What's wrong with singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine because he is? We are a diverse body of Christ. Amen. That's my first observation. Notwithstanding, the praise songs that we're singing are phenomenal. I'm not taking anything away from the praise songs that we're praising, but I want us to know that we are a diverse person. So if I sit in my chair and I break out with down through the years, don't look at me strange, because we're diverse. Amen. If I say Amazing Grace, don't look at me strange, because we're diverse. So that's one observation. My second observation, when I came here in August, I was led by the Holy Spirit. I already knew Pastor Oz from Greater Detroit Partnership. I already knew Pastor Andrea from Greater Detroit Partnership. Pastor Oz knows my former pastor. But when I came here in August of last year, I sat where I'm sitting now. Everything, the sermon went on, praise and worship was dynamic and all this. So after service, I'm really waiting. I'm waiting to be invited to Christ. I'm waiting. Oh, it didn't happen. I said, okay, well, you know, maybe they didn't do that Sunday. Okay. So then I kept coming. I came the second Sunday. I'm waiting to be invited to come to Christ. Still didn't happen. So I came a third Sunday, and then I went to Bible class, women's Bible class, and I talked to Andrea. I said, Andrea, if you want to become a part of this fellowship, what do you have to do? She said, well, you just keep on coming, just keep on coming, and just keep on coming. just keep on coming, and then everybody will finally realize you're part of the membership. Okay, but it still didn't sit well with me, okay? And so I went to some scriptures. And my first scripture, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to start with verse 18. And it reads as follows. While Jesus was walking along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers. One was Simon, also known as Peter, and the other was Andrew. They were fishermen, and they were casting their net into the lake. Jesus said to them, "Come with me." When someone say, "Come with me," they are extending an invitation. "I will teach you how to bring in people instead of fish." Right then, the two brothers dropped their nets and went with him. Jesus walked on until he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father, mending their nets. Jesus asked them to come with him to invitation. Right away, they left the boat and their father and went with Jesus. I'm going to go to Matthew 9:9. Some of you probably already have these scriptures in your heart. Matthew 9:9. As Jesus was leaving, he saw a tax collector named Matthew sitting at the place for paying taxes. And Jesus said to him, "Come with me." To me, that's an invite. Matthew got up and went with him. I'm going to go over to Mark 1. If you have your Bibles, you're probably a scholar and don't need the Bible because the word is all in you. Mark 1, starting at verse 16. Okay, where am I here? Okay, Jesus chooses four fishermen. As Jesus was walking along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were fishermen and were casting their nets into the lake. And Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I will teach you how to bring people instead of fish." And right then, the two brothers dropped their nets and went with him. Verse 19, Jesus walked on and soon saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in the boat mending their nets. At once, Jesus asked them to come with me. They left their father in the boat with the hired workers and went with Jesus. Many times, people are not going to come unless they are invited. Amen? I'm going to go to Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to read 27 and 28. Okay. 5:27-28. Later, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the place for paying taxes. Jesus said to him, "Come with me." Levi left everything and went with Jesus. Amen. Another invitation. And last but not least, I'm going to go to John chapter 1, verse 43. Okay. John 1:43. Okay. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. There he met Philip, who was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Jesus said to Philip, "Come with me." All of those come with me. I hear Jesus say, "You are invited, come." It's an invitation, okay? And so what I noticed, I don't know how people become a member of this body of Christ, because you do have newborn babies, you have new babies, and you know, people young in the faith, and they don't know about spiritual stuff and how to come to Christ and all of that. And so it just behooves us, or maybe change our methodology or the way we do things, and just invite them to come to Christ. Come and be a disciple of Christ Jesus. Don't come to me, but come to Christ Jesus. Come and be a disciple. Come and learn of me. Come and sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him. Because he's the only one that can give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And so that's kind of what was on my heart. I do believe it was from the Holy Spirit, because I said, Holy Spirit, this is not from you. Don't let me get up there. Don't let me say that. Amen. But I do believe it's the Holy Spirit. And like I said, God is very progressive. He wants his body of Christ to begin to do things different in his way, because his heart is about souls. His heart is about souls becoming saved, being filled, knowing how to live for Christ. Oh my goodness, he's an awesome God. He's awesome. And so I pray that, you know, what was said is a blessing. I pray that what was said is encouragement, enlightenment, and just a seed thought, just something to think about. Amen. I can't change nothing here. I'm the new kid on the block. And so, you know, I don't have any authority, I don't guess. But I'm the new kid on the block, and I just want to be obedient and do what God tells me to say and go where he tells me to go, so he can get the glory, the praise, and the honor. Amen. Amen. And so down through the years, God has been good to me. Amen. God bless you, and may he keep you.
Good morning, everyone. This is something very new to me, but it's on my heart. 3 weeks ago, when you spoke about the bread, right before then, Pastor Phillip, I was watching a show. It's called The Unexplained. And just so happened, right before I came to church, they were talking about the chef and the baker that was aboard the Titanic, and how he fed the people in the lifeboats. And you would think that when he was in the water, he was in the water all that time, and the only damage he suffered was his feet swole, and that was it. And it just made me realize that day how much God has grace. Even though the people that died don't mean that they didn't have God's grace, it just showed me more that there was grace for him for what he did. He gave up his seat for a woman and a child. And it just showed that he could have died, but he went on to continue to bake in the Merchant Navy. And I just wanted to read something. That this is a book that Pastor Andrew gave me for our Secret Santa. It's called Jesus Calling. It says, keep your focus on me. I have gifted you with amazing freedom, including the ability to choose the focal point of your mind. Only the crown of my creation has such remarkable capability. This is a sign of being made in my image. Let the goal of this day be to bring every thought captive to me. Whenever your mind wanders, lasso those thoughts and bring them into my presence. In my radiant light, anxious thoughts shrink and shrivel away. Judgmental thoughts are unmasked as you bask in my unconditional love. Confused ideals are untangled while you rest in the simplicity of my peace. I will guard you and keep you in constant peace as you focus your mind on me. And I've been reading this every day, because it's an everyday devotional, and it's just, It's opening my eyes. I'm a new believer, but I'm not a new believer because I know the power of God and the power of Jesus. So that was just my little thought to everybody. Since Louise was pressuring me.
Front of people, but I'm comfortable with you guys. The Lord actually has loosed my tongue. In high school, I couldn't do this. I would just flutter and talk like a fool. Here we go again. So I wanted to affirm what Scott was talking about probably about 6-8 months ago. It was on me, like, we've seen people leave this church. If they won't come, they're learning under you guys, they're being sent out to take your guys' great teachings to other places. To our leaders, we see you guys. We know everybody's ages, and this has nothing, we don't know what God's plan is. Thank you guys for all you do. Keep running the race. Like Paul's talked about, keep running the race. You're an encouragement, and we love you. In my own thing, which I don't like to talk too much, but I think I've been reading through scripture for the last 2 years and finally finished it. I see the Lord has shown me a lot, and we are new creations in Him. I don't fully understand it, but I see that the disciples, they were different. Like Adam was a creation, and then something new came with Christ. And the disciples, my brother said, I like Chan, right? Francis Chan a lot, you know? Like, they walked differently. There was something brand new. They had a fresh life, born again, trying to understand what that is. Whatever, read a lot of books. Books are great. Easter last year, the Lord told me, stop reading about me. If you want to know me, stop trying to learn about me, but come to know me, and kept me in scripture. That's it. You know what I mean? Up until about 2 weeks ago, I finally finished, you know, through Revelations. Like, there's something amazing. We are new creations, and I'm trying to figure out, how do we walk in that? What does that mean? We're His inheritance? You know what I mean? We're His inheritance. Like, He died and received this sinner who fails every single day. Like you say, talk to my wife. You know what I mean? It's, she's honest. And you know what? She's also my perfect partner. And He showed me that a couple years ago and just some simple things. And maybe, like I said, I might babble a little bit here, and maybe that's all He's got. But, like I said, I'm trying to figure out, what does that mean? Because they look different. They work different. They went through the pressing. They did not care. You know what I mean? They knew Him, and there's something so special. Oh, that was the other part. In awe, the word awe, right? In awe. How is it He loves us so much that the Holy Spirit lives in me? This, like I said, new creation. What does that look like? This sinner, and we fall every day, but also those sins are forgiven. Like, He's teaching me, like, okay, whatever, today I go out, I mess up. Guaranteed it's going to happen somewhere, you know. But that's already forgiven. Like, I have to repent, and I thank Him and teach me and show me and strengthen me. But it is washed. It's done. His blood is spilled. He's died. He's rose again. So like I said, just to walk new in Him, don't let the devil, the devil tries to make it bigger than it is, because he's refreshing, and he wants us not to be trapped in that guilt. That is Satan. Christ has already died. He rose again, and He walks new, and somehow the Holy Spirit, He's poured out into us, and I can't wrap my mind around it. I try to, and, you know, like you said, He's just kind of got me throwing things away. I thought I was in a start to read another like Bible, like a study Bible. Guess what? He threw it out and he said, read this, which is a much simpler version. He will always, it seems to me, do the exact opposite of what we think. And even sitting like out here today, like he gave me like, okay, we expect whatever we expect when he comes back, he's coming back. They expected something. The disciples, the whole the Jewish community, they all expected something. It's going to be totally different. Like he's so wise and so amazing. It's so just his knowledge and his understanding is just, I'm thankful, I praise you, Lord, that I am not you, that you are you, and I am humbled that you love me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I want to just briefly, I want to read Psalms 103, just 1 through 5, because this is the goodness of God. And I think it's important for all of us to know that the Lord's goodness falls on every one of us just differently. We all are blessed abundantly, just in different ways. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yeah. And Father God, I am grateful for this word. I can't tell you, all week I was like, I gotta say something. And all week I couldn't come up with nothing, because I could tell you a story and we'd be here for weeks. But every one of these, he's done for me. He's pulled me through. And I have 6 big miracles that he's moved in my life. I can see God's hand in so many things now. And I pointed out where people think I'm crazy. So, but I just want to share with you my last two. Back in October, I had a lot of stuff going on health-wise with me. And for my age and what was happening, the doctors said it was not normal. So they had suspected cancer. So they did the surgeries and did the biopsy. But before all of this, the woman's Why Jesus and a couple of other sisters. I just want to backtrack real quick. I would love to thank, because in this church you have prayer warriors, and the leadership, the prayer intercessors, and even your common brothers and sisters, this house holds power in prayer, and nothing that can never be taken, no matter how many come and how many leave. That lives here in this house. Yeah. With the people. So back to the story. So I'm sorry. I forgot that was supposed to what I was supposed to say at the beginning was to thank you guys. So they did this you could feel the presence. It was such a moving prayer that I'm pretty sure, I know I felt like I was floating in the room that Wednesday. I'm not sure if other sisters felt like they were floating, but the Holy Spirit was there. And it was said that it was done, that there was, you know, I was healed. So I get the surgery, I'm waiting on this biopsy. You know, my brain sometimes gets the best of me with my thoughts. And I'm asking everybody, can you read this? You know, because they send it to you in the app now, you know, your results, like you're just confused. So I'm asking everybody, you know what this means? And praise God Almighty, it was no cancer. But the fear of that cancer, it tried to control me. It tried And I'm just so thankful for the prayers and the movement of the Lord in that moment, because he had something different. He's got a different plan for me. I know that whatever is his will is what's going to always happen. I know, I'm pretty sure 99% of you know Nicholas, my youngest. I think we were 1 week into December, and he's 12, well, he just turned 12 in January, but he's 12 at the time to me. And he's done the same chores every day for probably 3 years. He dries the dishes and puts them away. Okay, that's his job. Well, this day, I don't know what this kid was thinking, and I have a very sharp fillet knife. I had just sharpened it that day. So this is how I know when the enemy is trying to intervene and do what he does. I had sharpened it that day. Nick's always careful. It's never been a concern of me for this child to touch a sharp knife. He's raised right. He knows the difference. Well, that day in the evening, he was washing the dishes or drying the dishes, and he took the knife, went like this on the shirt instead of using the drying towel. And when he came to pull it back, it snagged and he stabbed him. And I could not stop the bleeding. Okay? And within 20 minutes, I had him. 20 minutes to the half hour, he was in trauma one at the hospital. And what had happened was he had pierced, you know, his meat was good for him because it protected his intestines, and it missed his intestines by, I couldn't, maybe a millimeter, I couldn't tell you, but they were worried for the air to get into the intestines because then it would be transferring to children's, et cetera, et cetera. But through this, I had contacted Pastor Andrea, and I'm sure she put out a prayer chain, and through the testings and everything that was going on during the hospital, everything was missed. God was there. I was never worried about it. I felt safe and that God's comfort was there. And everybody else was in a frenzy. In a frenzy so much that they, you know, they called Child Protective Services on me thinking either my kid was trying to hurt himself or I was hurting him. You know, it was a really long, dragged month when all it was what it was a freak accident. But my whole point of is God protected him, and God protects you, and God protects me. If it's in his will that whatever his love that's going to fall on us that day, it's going to be. And no matter how our thoughts, and I can't remember who just spoke on it, but our thoughts, and I think actually it was Caroline, yes. I just want to be blameless like Mary. I don't want the thoughts that go in my head. I try to fill them with scripture daily. I try to fill them with encouragement and things. And everything I look at now in my life is how would Jesus do it? Or how would Jesus react? Because being in this church, and I'm pretty sure it's going on 22 years, I have fell many times backwards. Many times, and I apologize, because I get stuck in my own self-righteousness. And I knew with my mother's passing, the outpour of support that came to me from Lord of the Harvest, that I knew this was home, and this will always be home, and the presence of the Spirit will always be here. I'm sure it's everywhere else, but this is where I feel it. This is where I've learned it, and this is where I live it. I live it outside at the store and stuff too, but you know what I mean. But that's just my message, or, you know.
Thanks. I don't know. I've been trying to pray and over the week and see if there
there was anything that God put on my heart. And, like, the only thing I can really come up with right now is just trust God. I've been kind of going through a little bit of a funk and needing to remember that God has timing for everything. So I just want to encourage everybody that, you know, whatever it is that's supposed to happen in your life, it's going to happen at God's time. He knows how it's supposed to be done, all that. So just keep your focus on him, even when things are hard. You know, God's got your back. It's all his plan. All right, that's it.
We've heard from God these last 3 weeks, and we haven't heard from any one person. We all have brought things to the table. It's like serving the Lord is like potluck. We all bring what God has given us to the table to feed each other. And, you know, sometimes somebody brings something to the table and we're not used to eating that, but when we try it, this is what causes us to grow as the body of Christ. So we're going to close these 3 weeks of exhortations in this manner. Father, you have spoken to us through your church. The verse that Caroline brought, when you come together, let each one of you, and Paul has said it in several places, bring a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, a revelation, a teaching, a word, an exhortation, Lord. And so we've done that these last 3 weeks in obedience to you, Lord. It wasn't about one person having a message and the rest of the church listening to it, Lord. We all came and brought to the table, Lord, what you've given us. Now, I ask for you, Lord. You put it all together, Lord. Lord, it was your recipe, Lord. You brought a lot of different ingredients, Lord. Now, put it together and bake it or make it or cook it. Lord, do what you desire, Lord. I know that for me, these past 3 weeks, Lord, you've spoken tremendously to me, Lord God. And now, Lord, we ask, Father, that you put it together, Lord, and may it be a fellowship meal, Lord. May it be a peace offering, Lord God. Lord, it's one of those sacrifices, Lord, that was given. There was one, Lord, that it was offered to you, but then everybody came together and partook, Lord. There was only one sacrifice, the peace offering, the fellowship offering, Lord God, that qualified for that. So, Lord, we've got our peace offering made. You're going to put it together. And now, Lord, we want to feast. We want to rejoice. We want to eat. We want to celebrate together. It was always done in a celebratory context. It was a thank offering. It was called all these different things, Lord. But, Lord, ultimately, it was a blessing, Lord. It was a blessing that we offered to you. You accepted it, and then you said, now you rejoice in it together, Lord. So you take what we are bringing, Lord, in this hour, Lord, and cause us to rejoice and celebrate, Lord, and bring this church, Lord, into everything you desire it to be brought into. I believe these 3 weeks were a prophetic activity that said, okay, we've all spoken. Now, Lord, what are you going to do with it? And, Lord, I just believe, Lord, for next week, Lord God, we're all going to come together, Lord, and we're going to be something as a congregation, Lord, that we weren't before this time, Father. So we thank you. We expect, we believe, we hope, we are planning, we're opening ourselves, Lord, that the new work has begun, Lord. Now let it move forth, Lord. Heaven's coming to earth. You're driving things out of us. We're going to change. Lord God, we've all declared this is our home. I think that was an important word that Lisa shared. This is home for all of us, Lord. And now because this is home, Lord, manifest, Lord, the spirit of the house, Lord, the spirit of the family, Lord God. Let it come forth now, Lord. This is an hour we've prayed for, we've believed for, we've expected, and now, Lord, you're going to do it, Lord. You're going to launch it, Father. In Jesus' name we declare it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace to serve the Lord.